Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor Ram Goldar and Tehillim Maseches Menachos Daf Lamed Hey, the third parak of Kometz Rabba. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav says the titura of tefillin was taught as a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. This refers to the extended fourth wall of the tefillin, which is folded underneath the closed compartments. It's called the titura, a bridge, because it resembles a plank. Abai says halacha Moshe Mitzrayim requires the ma'abarta tefillin, which is the back extension of the titura through which the strap passes back and forth. Abai said, halacha Moshe Mitzrayim requires the shin of tefillin. That's the creases made on the outer sides of the tefillin shor rosh, resembling the letter shin. And the groove between each compartment must reach the place for the stitching at the bottom. However, Rav Dimi said that as long as the grooves are recognizable on top, they need not reach the base. Later, Abraisa adds that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim requires tefillin to be merubaos, square. Papa says this means batifron, in their stitching, meaning you should not pull the stitch too tight, causing the leather base to contract and no longer be square, ubalach sonan, and in their diagonal, meaning the length and width should be equal, so that the diagonal matches that of a proper square. Point number two, Rav Yitzchak says that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim requires the ritzuos, the straps of the tefillin, to be black. This is challenged from a Braisa teaching that the ritzuos must be beminim, with their type of material, meaning leather, and can be dyed green, black, or white. However, they may not be red because it disgraces the wearer, who will seem to have bleeding scabs or had relations with his wife while she was Anita. The Gemara answers kan b'mifnim. The Braisa allows various colors for the inside of the strap, whereas kan b'mechutz, Rabbi Yitzchak required black for the outside of the straps. Even the inside coloring can cause disgrace to the wearer because occasionally they turn over and the color is visible. Later, the Gemara proves that ritzuos have a minimum shear and length beyond the knot. Reish Lakish says it is ad etzba tzarada, until the index finger. Rav Kahana demonstrated this as kafuf, curved, meaning the space between one index and middle finger spread apart. Rav Ashi demonstrated this as pashut, straight, meaning the index finger and thumb spread apart. The Gemara records practices of Amoraim whose ritzuos were too long. Rabba hung them behind his back, Rav Acher bar Yaakov braided them, and Rabba braided Rabbana hung them in front of himself, as we do. And point number three, Rabba's quote is saying that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim teaches the requirements of kesher shel tefillin, the tefillin knot, which together form the letters shin, dalet, and yud. The shin is embossed on the shel rosh, the knot of the shel rosh is tied into a dalet, and the small knot attaching the shel yud forms a yud. Rav Nachman adds, v'noyehen lebar, and their beauty must face outward, referring to the letters forming the name Shakai, or the side of the ritzuos dyed black. The pasuk says, "Barovu kol amei aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha," and all the nations of the world will see that Hashem's name is proclaimed over you, and they will be in awe of you. Rabbi Eliezer says this refers to the tefillin shel rosh. Rabbi Shimon Chassina says that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu he would see Hashem's back, it means the kesher shel tefillin at the back of his head. Rav Yehuda says the kesher must be lamala, above, on the back of the head, kadeshu Yisrael lamala v'lo lamata, to symbolize that Yisrael should be above and not below. It must be klapi panim, opposite the face, meaning centered, kadeshu Yisrael lefnim v'lo achor, to symbolize that Yisrael should be in the front and not the back. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rav says the titura tefillin was taught as a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. This refers to the extended fourth wall of the tefillin, which is folded underneath the closed compartments. It's called the titura, a bridge, because it resembles a plank. Abai says halacha Moshe Mitzrayim requires the ma'abarta tefillin, which is the back extension of the titura through which the strap passes back and forth. Abai said halacha Moshe Mitzrayim requires the shin of tefillin. That's the creases made on the outer sides of the tefillin shor rosh, resembling the letter shin. And the groove between each compartment must reach the place for the stitching at the bottom. However, Rav Dimi said that as long as the grooves are recognizable on top, they need not reach the base. Later, Abraisa adds that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim requires tefillin to be merubaos, square. Papa says this means batifron, in their stitching, meaning you should not pull the stitch too tight, causing the leather base to contract and no longer be square, ubalach sonan, and in their diagonal, meaning the length and width should be equal, so that the diagonal matches that of a proper square. Point number two, Rav Yitzchak says that halacha Moshe Mitzrayim requires the ritzuos, the straps of the tefillin, to be black. This is challenged from a Braisa teaching that the ritzuos must be beminim, with their type of material, meaning leather, and can be dyed green, black, or white. However, they may not be red because it disgraces the wearer, who will seem to have bleeding scabs or had relations with his wife while she was Anita. The Gemara answers Kanba Mifnim. The Braisa allows various colors for the inside of the strap, whereas Kanba Mechutz, Rabbi Yitzhak required black for the outside of the straps. Even the inside coloring can cause disgrace to the wearer because occasionally they turn over and the color is visible. Later, the Gemara proves that Ritzuos have a minimum shear and length beyond the knot. Reish Lakish says it is ad etzba tzarada, until the index finger. Rav Kahana demonstrated this as kafuf, curved, meaning the space between one index and middle finger spread apart. Rav Ashi demonstrated this as pashut, straight, meaning the index finger and thumb spread apart. The Gemara records practices of Amoraim whose ritzuos were too long. Rabba hung them behind his back, Rav Acher bar Yaakov braided them, and Rabba braided Rabbana hung them in front of himself, as we do. And point number three, Rabba's quote is saying that Halacha Moshe Sinai teaches the requirements of Kesher Shel Tefillin, the Tefillin knot, which together form the letters Shin, Dalet, and Yud. The Shin is embossed on the Shel Rosh, the knot of the Shel Rosh is tied into a Dalet, and the small knot attaching the Shel Yud forms a Yud. Rav Nachman adds, V'noyehen Lebar, and their beauty must face outward, referring to the letters forming the name Shakai, or the side of the Ritzuos dyed black. The Pasuk says, Barahu kol amei aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha, and all the nations of the world will see that Hashem's name is proclaimed over you, and they will be in awe of you. Rabbi Eliezer says, this refers to the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Rabbi Shimon Chassina says that when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu he would see Hashem's back, it means the Kesher Shel Tefillin at the back of his head. Rav Yehuda says the Kesher must be lamala, above, on the back of the head, Kadeshu Yisrael lamala v'lo lamata, to symbolize that Yisrael should be above and not below. It must be klapei panim, opposite the face, meaning centered, Kadeshu Yisrael lefnim v'lo achor, to symbolize that Yisrael should be in the front and not the back. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Lamed Hey, and our standard Siman is a children's choir singing la, la, la. So here goes. The children's choir, who used giant tefillin props with a titur and marabarta and a shin, just like the Halacha Moshe Sinai, waved black ritzuos with multicolored backs, but never red, as they sing about when Hashem shall Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kesher shall tefillin. Once again, slow motion. The children's choir, that must be around Daf Lamed Hey. Children's choir singing la, la, la. So the children's choir, who used giant film props with the titura and ma'abarta and a shin just like the Halacha Moshe Sinai, which reminds us, Rav says, the titura of tefillin was taught as a Halacha Moshe Sinai. This refers to the extended fourth wall of the tefillin, which is folded underneath to close the compartments. It's called the titura, a bridge, because it resembles a plank. Abai says that Halacha Moshe Sinai requires the ma'abarta of tefillin, which is the back extension of the titura through which the strap passes back and forth. Abai said that Halacha Moshe Sinai requires the shin of tefillin. So the children's choir, who used giant tefillin props with the titura and ma'abarta and a shin, just like the Halacha Moshe Sinai, waved black ritzuos with multicolored backs, but never red, which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzchak says that Halacha Moshe Sinai requires the ritzuos, the straps of the tefillin, to be black. This is challenged from a Braisa teaching that the ritzuos must be beminam, with their type of material, meaning leather, and can be dyed green, black, or white. However, they may not be red because it disgraces the wearer, who will seem to have bleeding scabs or had relations with his wife while she was Anita. The Gemara answers Kanba Mifnim. The Braisa allows various colors for the inside of the straps, whereas Kanba Mechutz, Rabbi Yitzchak required black for the outside of the straps. So the children's choir, who used giant tefillin props with the titur and ma'abarta and a shin, just like the Halacha Moshe Sinai, waved black ritzuos with multicolored backs, but never red, as they sang about when Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Kesher Shel Tefillin, which reminds us, Rabba's quote as saying that Halacha Moshe Sinai teaches the requirements of a Kesher Shel Tefillin, the tefillin knot, which together form the letters Shin, Dalet, and Yud. Rabbi Shimon Chassidus says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu he would see Hashem's back, it means the Kesher Shel Tefillin at the back of his head. So once again, the children's choir used giant tefillin props with a titura and ma'abarta and a shin just like the Halacha Moshe Sinai, waved black ritzuos with multicolored backs, but never red, as they sing about when Hashem shel Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kesher shel tefillin. All right, so now it's time for our four blabach chazara. Daf Lamed Aleph, so the similar Daf Lamed Aleph relates to the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. The judge, that must move on Daf Lamed Aleph, the law. The judge had the mezuzah contest, who sent his clerk to go buy some produce from an Amah Aretz, so he could take Meisim Midraban from it for his chulin snack, which some tevel fell into, which reminds us, Gemara discusses taking Meisim for tevel mixed into chulin using produce from an Amah Aretz or an Akum. So the judge at the mezuzah contest, who sent his clerk to go buy some produce from an Ama Arts so he could take Meiser Mid the Rabban from it for his chulin snack, which some tevil fell into, ruled that the mezuzah written like a shir was kosher, but the ones like a tent or a tail are pasul. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a mezuzah's lines which were written like a shira, a kuba, a tent, or a zanav, a tail. So the judge of the mezuzah contest, who sent his clerk to go buy some produce from an Ama Arts so he could take Meiser Mid the Rabban from it for his chulin snack, which some tevil fell into, ruled that the mezuzah written like a shira was kosher, but the ones like a tent or a tail are pasul. And Aha Arts must always be written alone on the last line for a long life. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the placement of Aha Arts on the last line of a mezuzah. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in the Safra's lab. Lab? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in the Safra's lab working on a machine to detect if the spacing in a mezuzah was a stuma and not a psucha, which reminds us the Gemara discusses whether the partios of a mezuzah are written psuchos or stumos. So the mad scientist in the Safra's lab working on a machine to detect if the spacing in a mezuzah was a stuma and not a psucha, and trying to add a seirtut feature to detect that the mezuzah has seirtut, which would not be relevant for tefillin, which reminds us the Gemara discusses seirtut for tefillin and mezuzah. So the mad scientist in the Safra's lab working on a machine to detect if the spacing in a mezuzah was a stuma and not a psucha, and trying to add a seirtut feature to detect that the mezuzah has seirtut, which would not be relevant for tefillin, jumped up when he realized there was a sefer Torah on the bench he was sitting on, which reminds us, Rav Chelbo says he saw Rav Huna going to sit down on a bed which had a sefer Torah on it, and he first overturned a jug and placed a sefer Torah onto it, and only then sat on the bed. He holds Asaleshev al Gabimita should sefer Torah munochoeh. It's forbidden to sit on a bed on which a sefer Torah is resting. This disagrees with Rabba Bar Chana, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan permitting sitting on a bed with the sefer Torah resting on it. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simur Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg-legged pirate. So here goes. The peg-legged pirate. Peg-legged pirate? That must be wrong, Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-legged pirate who instructed his men to go after Hekard Seer for the door in the middle of the Haida, which reminds us that we learned that we use Hekard Seer, the indication of the pivot, to determine the direction of a doorway. Shmuel ruled that whichever room the pivot is in is considered the inside, and the mezuzah is placed on the right side for entering that room. So the peg-legged pirate who instructed his men to go after Hekard Seer for the door in the middle of the hideout was measuring the entrance of the hideout to put a mezuzah on the top third of the door, which reminds us the Gemara discusses the proper height for placing a mezuzah. So the peg-legged pirate who instructed his men to go after Hekard Seer for the door in the middle of the hideout was measuring the entrance of the hideout to put a mezuzah on the top third of the door. When he realized the reason for putting it near the outside of the door is to show that Hashem is guarding them, and promptly, the tshuva, which reminds us that we learned that we place a mezuzah near the reshus of Rabim because Hashem guards his servants from outside. Daf Lamed Daled. So the Simur Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. After climbing one ladder, that must be more on Daf Lamed Daled. After climbing one ladder to enter the doorway to the Batimacher that only had one post but still had a mezuzah because the post was on the right, which reminds us, Rav Papa taught that although Rabbi Meir holds that an entrance with a single side post requires a mezuzah, that is only when the side post is on the right side of the entrance, not on the left. This is based on a brisa which darshans Beis Selcha, your house, to mean the right side. As Rabbi explains, Derech Biascha Mina Yamin, the way of your entering, which is on the right side. Because when a person begins to move, it's his right foot which he moves first. So after climbing one ladder to enter the doorway to the Batimacher that had only one post but still had a mezuzah because the post was on the right, the customers climbed a large ladder to the second floor where they were shown how the Batim Shel Rosh are made with four compartments from one or, which reminds us, Abraisa states that the Tefillin Shel Rosh are made of four Batim, four compartments made of a single hide. The partials are written on four separate hides, but if they're written on one and were inserted into the four compartments, they're valid. If they are written on one hide, Rebbe says a space must be left between the partios, but the Chachamim say it's unnecessary. So after climbing one ladder to enter the doorway to the Batimacher that had only one post but still had a mezuzah because the post was on the right, the customers climbed a large ladder to the second floor where they were shown how the Batim Shel Rosh are made with four compartments from one or, and given a choice if they want the order of the partios of tefillin according to Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, which reminds us the Gemara discussed the order of the partios in tefillin. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Which daf do you discuss the interior structure of the Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad and the Parshios? That's on daf Lamed Daled. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn about the kesher, the knot of the tefillin? That's on daf. Lamed hey. Good. Number three. Which stuff do you learn the proper height for placing a mezuzah? That's on daf. Lamed gimel. Good. Number four. Which stuff do we learn to use hekher tzir to determine the direction of a doorway? That's on daf. Lamed gimel. Good. Number five. Which stuff do you discuss whether one can sit on a bed that has a sefer Torah on it? That's on daf. Lamed beis. Good. Number six. Which stuff do we learn about the requirements of the ritzuos regarding their color and length? That's on daf. Lamed hey. Good. Number seven. Which stuff do you discuss an entrance with only one side post and the requirement to place the mezuzah on the right side? That's on daf. Lamed daled. Good. Number eight. Which stuff do we discuss the schus of one who purchases, writes, or merely corrects a sefer Torah? That's on daf. Lamed. Good. Number nine. Which stuff do we learn that the titura, the ma'abarta, and the shin of the tefillin are halachu moshe misinai? That's on daf. Lamed hey. Great. And number 10. Which daf discusses taking maaser for tevel mixed into chulin using produce from either an ama aretz or an akum? That's on daf. Lamed aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.